or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Is that us? Are we like trees planted by streams of living water? The Lord wants us to prosper and to stay grounded and rooted in Him. So let's praise the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You. We praise You. We ask You to send Your Holy Spirit into this place. May our praises please You. May our very thoughts please You. May our hearts please You. We pray that the name of Jesus will be high and exalted. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to also welcome our live stream audience worshiping with us. If you'll rise, if you're able, let's worship together.
Well, I heard an old, old story, how Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary.
To be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be with God's people. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm glad to see every person here this morning. And I just want you to remember the reason that we are all here. It's nothing that we've done, but the victory that Jesus Christ has won for each and every one of us in this room. So we come here because of our gracious God, and we worship through the victory that He gives to us this morning. So as we continue in worship, give the very best of what you are in this time of worship. This next hour of your life, you get one chance at it, and then it's going to be gone forever. I hope you look back this afternoon and say, I sought after God with all of my focus and my love and my intention in this time. Because He's a victorious God, He's a good God, and He's a chain-breaking God.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voices, the same old lies. You've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain.
Children, hold your seat, and everybody else, I invite you to be seated.
All right, we've got 11 people joining this morning. It's not a record, but it's close. It's close. It's in the vicinity. I'm going to call you guys up. Larry and Georgia Berg, come on up. Landon, Lauren, Liam, Lindley, and Lena Berg. Larry Garza. There's Larry. I saw Larry. There's Larry. And Larry's wife, Marcy, is leading a walk to Emmaus this weekend, and she is a member of our conference, but it's a package deal, right, Larry? All right. Joe Cooper and Shirley Harvey and Nick Ferguson. Y'all, everybody scrunch into the middle, right here. Okay. Well, I'm going to move to the side a little bit so that our live stream folks can see you guys too. Man, what a joy it is to receive you guys into membership. So you adults, you've all accepted Christ and you've been baptized in that faith. And so I just ask you again, is Jesus Christ still the Lord of your life? And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service and witness? Amen. We welcome you officially. Make sure these families get welcomed before they leave today. All right, children, come forward and meet Miss Teresa for the children's message.
All your pretty faces this morning. This week, I got to thinking about wolves and all the stories that have a wolf in them. The first story I got to thinking about was the three little pigs. You guys remember what the wolf did in that one? What did the wolf do in that one? Eat the pigs, because there's like the pigs whose house was made of straw and one of sticks and one of bricks, and the wolf came around, he huffed and he puffed and he blew two of them down, but the third, the one with bricks, stayed good, right, and saved them. So I'm thinking, okay, in that story, the saving portion was the house saved the pigs. Well, that's exactly what they did. All right. So then there was a little Red Riding Hood, and there's a wolf in that story. Do you remember what that wolf did? What'd that wolf do? Tried to get the muffins. Go ahead.
He ate the grandma. He ate the grandma and tried to dress up as the grandma, and he was going to eat the Red Riding Hood.
Yes, but then who saved Red Riding Hood?
The guy that cut down.
Yeah, there was a woodsman out there, and he came in and saved Red Riding Hood. So from that wolf, the woodsman saved Red Riding Hood. Then there was a third one. I'm not sure if you guys know this story, but there's one called Peter and the Wolf. And then, yeah, you guys all don't know that. Well, I assure you the story exists in that one. The kid is safe in his backyard, but he leaves the backyard with him and his three animal friends. And they go out, and the wolf goes and tries to eat his friends and him, but Grandpa comes and saves the day. Did you know that there's a wolf story in the Bible with Jesus? I'm going to tell it to you. Now, while I'm reading it, it's from John 10, verses 11 through 14. And I want you, when you hear the word, when you hear me talk about sheep, they're talking about you and me. The people. When they're talking about the shepherd, they're talking about Jesus. And then there's the wolf. And the wolf is anything that would tear us and pull us away from Jesus, our shepherd. All right, it says, I am the good shepherd. So Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd to you. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. So anyone except Jesus would run away as soon as they saw a wolf. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and does not care for the sheep. But I am a good shepherd, says Jesus. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And Jesus is the one who protects us. He is the hero in our story. He is the one who would put his life down to save us and protect us from the big, bad wolf. So then, I got to thinking, just like the little pigs were like, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Tra-la-la-la-la. And that kind of works here. With Jesus, we can go around saying that because we're not afraid of the different things that would pull us away because Jesus is there to keep us safe. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for sending your son to be our good shepherd. He gave his life for us. He protects us from evil, from the wolf. Help us to follow him, to hear his voice when he speaks, and to trust him to keep us safe. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Hello. Hey, thank you. Arliss has all the power, by the way. So. Well, Jesus does also. But anyway, good morning again for those worshiping online. Good morning. I want to encourage you to register your attendance with us. Ladies, the Aspire event takes place this afternoon at 5 p.m., starting at 5 p.m. You can buy tickets there if you'd like. I believe the ladies are going to meet around 4:15 to try to sit together, and that's at Trinity Baptist Church. Our charge conference is Tuesday night starting at 6 p.m. Everybody that has children needs to be aware that child care will be available for children up through the third grade. Men's breakfast October the 8th will be here this month at 7:30 a.m. Wiley Baptist will join us again. And then we're having a men's encounter night on October the 11th. It's been several years since we've done that. There will be a free brisket sausage meal starting at 6. Men, are you down for a free meal? Free is always good, right? And then we'll transition to the sanctuary for a time of worship. A strong word from a pastor friend of mine and several of us in the congregation, Jay Miller, and then we'll end up with some prayer. Also in the bulletin, we're advertising for candy for our trunk or treat, and the bulletin says we need lots of candy, and that means lots of candy. Last year we asked for 50,000 pieces, and I think we actually cut it close at 50,000. So there's rumors going around that there will be a candy shortage around that holiday. And so if you are at the store and you see a bag or two, just grab those and bring those to the church, and we'll store those for that event. We had, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000 people come through last year. So a good opportunity to reach out to our community. Let's stand, if you're physically able, and let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Just a quick update about our healing prayer service last Sunday night. We had a really sweet time in the Lord. Amen. For those of you who are here. People, I think everybody walked away encouraged. We saw some breakthrough in some lives, spiritually and physically. And so we need to do that again. And to be honest, it would be irresponsible for us not to do that again. So in the future, I don't know if that's monthly or quarterly or whatever, there'll be other opportunities to pursue the Lord for healing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are a chain breaker. And Lord, we witnessed that last Sunday night. And I just thank you that you love us enough that you want wholeness for us. You love us enough that you want peace for us. You love us enough that you want comfort for us. And Lord, I don't know, there may be some people this morning not experiencing those things. So Lord, I pray that you move in power. Maybe even just right now, just kind of scoot up against them and let them feel your presence. Let them know that you're here. Let them know that they're valued. Let them know they're created in your image. And Lord, there's more for them to experience than they're experiencing right now. God, I lift up our charge conference Tuesday night, and Lord, I just pray for absolute unity and clarity that night. Lord, I just thank you for giving us opportunities to go be who we feel like Jesus has called us to be. I thank you, God, for making a way for that. And Lord, we want to take advantage of that, God. We want to glorify you. We want to honor you. Father, we want to be a lighthouse in Abilene, Texas for the lost, a lighthouse for the broken. Lord, I pray that they're drawn our direction, Jesus, because you are our Savior. You are our Lord. Let them see your love through us. Give us a heart for this community. Father, I pray blessings on those who joined us this morning, God. I pray for connection points for them if those don't exist already. Lord, help us to be wise. And Father, as we continue to worship you, I pray that you free us up unhindered to do that. Holy Spirit, just move. God, your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. I don't even really understand that, but it's almost like your presence is manifested when we praise you. May we experience that this morning as we continue to worship. I pray for clarity for our pastor as he brings the word this morning. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you would have us hear this morning. And may we walk out of this building knowing without a doubt we've met with you this day. Father, I thank you for the opportunities to pray. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you of our giving opportunities. You can give electronically. You can place your offering in the offering boxes. Also, the effort to pass the ordinance, that'll take place in November. There's some expense attached to this campaign. If you want to contribute to that campaign, you can do that through our app, through PushPay. I believe the choice you need to toggle is life ordinance. And God, I thank the Lord for his goodness, and thank you, church, for your faithfulness.
Just a
Good morning again. If you are a guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. And I hope for each of us that we feel Christ's presence, we feel the Holy Spirit in this place, and we feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are a guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that has a blue stripe and says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out and bring it to this end of the foyer after the service. I have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you, get to know you better a little bit. If you will turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 30, Jesus is going to be speaking here, so when he speaks, we should listen. Let's see what he has to say. Verse 30, even as Jesus spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Is this on, Steve? It is on, you can hear it. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son, big S, so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. You are indeed welcome here. We ask you now to speak. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority. That's the only way you speak. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So the founder of this movement that became a denomination called Methodism was John Wesley. And John Wesley was in the 1800s. He was actually a pastor or priest in the Church of England. And he never set out to start a new denomination. He set out to reform the Church of England. At that time, the Church of England, you had to be of a certain social standing to even come into the sanctuary to worship. If you didn't dress a certain way and have a certain standing in the culture, you were not even welcome into the church. So John Wesley was kind of like, you know, poor people need Jesus too. Jesus died for poor people too. And he tried to reform the church and they were having none of it. So he ended up going out into the fields and into the factories and pulling up a stump and sharing the gospel. And because of that, thousands and thousands of people came to Christ. He never set out to start a denomination. In fact, that word Methodist was originally a derogatory term that because he met with some others, and they were very methodical in the way they worshiped and the way they studied God's Word and prayed and so forth. And so they derogatorily said, just a bunch of Methodists. Well, towards the end of his life, he is preparing. He's coming to the end of his life. He knows that he will not make the trip to America to launch this new church. And Thomas Coke, one of his disciples, was meeting him at the dock to launch him onto the ship that would take him to America. And John Wesley journaled the famous phrase, what he told Thomas Coke. Anybody know what that was? Offer them Christ. He didn't say, hey, here's how you need to structure things, and here's some church growth materials that you can read, and you can, you know, he said, offer them Christ. Here's what that man, John Wesley, here's what he said, I think applies to us today. This was written by him in 1831. I am not afraid that the people called Methodist should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or America. He was not about building a movement or a denomination. But I am afraid, he said, lest that they should only exist as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power. And this undoubtedly will be the case unless they hold fast both the doctrine, spirit, and discipline with which they first set out. What he was saying is, it's going to be a mess unless they cling to Jesus. Unless they cling to the truth of His Word. Well, church, we have come to that place where we are in crisis. I've been preaching on it for a few weeks now. I'm going to hit some things really quickly before I really get into the meat of unpacking this scripture and what I think the Lord would have for us today. But we are in a time, and I preached a similar sermon a few years ago, and things are worse today than they were then, by the way. But there's two competing worldviews that we have, and they're both competing for our hearts and minds, these two worldviews. One is a secular worldview, and it is what I would say in Scripture refers to it as a spirit of falsehood, a spirit of lies. And the other is a Christian worldview, a spirit of truth. And so we have an enemy, the devil, and Scripture tells us, and I don't know, maybe some of y'all like me have seen this play out in your own life, that he is the father of lies. If it comes out of his mouth, it's a lie. He distorts and perverts Scripture. And then we have Jesus. He's his spirit of truth, and he wants life for us. He wants abundant life for us. So we have these two competing worldviews going on. And I'm going to hit some ways that they contrast with one another very quickly. Truth in the secular worldview, truth is relative. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. We each can have different truth and different. Did you know that some of the people that are advocating, they would call themselves centrist, advocating to stay United Methodist, one of their things is that they would say, look, for the different, we can believe and do different things depending on the context of the ministry area that you're in. In other words, the truth may be a little different, and we may have different beliefs in Africa than we do in America. It may be a little different in West Texas than it is in along the Eastern Seaboard. I mean, that's relativism is what that is. In the worldview, truth is relative. In the Christian view, truth is absolute. In the secular worldview, truth is created. Christian worldview, truth is discovered. Secular worldview, truth is subjective. It's a personal opinion. Your opinion, my opinion. I tell you this all the time. My opinion makes no difference. What does God have to say about any issue? And that's what we seek after. Christian worldview, truth is objective. It's not subjective, it's objective with measurable facts. If you don't believe in gravity and you jump off of a 10-story building, it really doesn't matter what you believe. You're still going to splatter just the same. In the secular worldview, every opinion is right. In the Christian worldview, everyone has a right to their opinion. Secular worldview, truth is personal belief or perspective. Christian worldview, belief does not determine truth. It doesn't matter if we believe it or not, if it's true. Secular worldview, it's true because I believe it. Christian worldview, I believe it because it's true. And this is probably my favorite, secular worldview. Tolerance means to agree that all claims of truth must be accepted as equal and valid. And I should put a footnote, unless you're a Christian, by the way. Christian worldview, tolerance means to agree to disagree. Means it's okay. If you disagree with me, that's your prerogative. That's tolerance. That's true tolerance. So I'm continuing and concluding the sermon series today, A House Divided. A House Divided. Technology is my friend. And today's message is lacks strength. A house lacks truth. A house divided lacks truth. So I want to talk about truth very quickly here before I move into the main points that I want to make. First of all, Jesus referred to truth 78 times. We saw it one of the times in our message, in our passage today. I tell you the truth, he said 78 times in the gospel. It's recorded. I tell you the truth. If Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth, then that means there's something opposite of the truth, right? There we are. So, first of all, Jesus is the truth. There should be some notes with references to the scripture that you can read about these. Jesus is truth. God's Word proclaims truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. Truth leads to salvation, which, by the way, if it leads to salvation, it means that we are a people in need of salvation. Yes? And finally, the truth has opposition, and that's where I want us to spend a little time right now. So, when we're talking about truth and that the house divided lacks truth, well, I believe that sin has an impact on truth. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it as a pastor in so many others' lives. I see it in our culture. Sin has an impact on truth, how we respond to truth. So I'm gonna kind of go through these 5 points that I think where sin has an impact on how we respond to truth. First of all, sin makes us turn away from the truth. Sin makes us turn away from the truth. Man, I love this passage out of 2 Timothy. Paul, it's almost like, I'm telling you, like he wrote this last week. For the time he's speaking to Timothy, his protege, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Is this still on? Sometimes I fade in and out. I just want to make sure this is still on. It's still on? For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, in other words, to justify their actions, their behavior, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I love the way Paul can stream a sentence out there, huh? A great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, to lies, the lies of the enemy. We're seeing it, and I've said this before, but I want to say it again. It's one thing to be, if you're, let's say, I'm just going to pick a topic, a random topic. I hadn't even thought about this, but let's pick a topic, pornography. And you're struggling with pornography, and if I get up here as your pastor and go, you know, come on, we're all flesh and blood, we're all humans, we're all going to struggle with that. It's okay, just embrace that. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be some good stuff? If you've got a pastor that tells you that sin is okay, no. But here's the truth about pornography: it destroys. It affects your mind. It destroys marriages. It destroys your walk with the Lord. That's the truth. And if I love you and you're struggling with pornography, that's what I'm going to tell you. Not, oh, it's okay. It's okay. We're all just flesh and blood. No. Sin makes us turn away from the truth. And what better thing if we can get pastors to say that it's okay? Secondly, sin makes us suppress the truth. Push it down. The wrath of God, Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Sin makes us suppress it. If we can push it down, say like, la 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 la. And I'm seeing that a lot with this issue that's going on in our denomination. It's like, I got pastors that it's like, I don't want to talk about that with my church. Well, let me tell you, I went and talked to a church last week, and I think I told y'all, I honestly would rather have had my head sewn on the carpet than to make that trip. I didn't want to do it. I felt like the Lord was calling me to do it and speak truth. Sin makes us suppress the truth. Sin, number three, sin makes us distort the truth. Acts 20, even from our own number, does that say that? Even from our own number, I think he's talking about the church. Even from our own number will arise, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. this serious stuff. From our own number, for heaven's sake. Number four, sin makes us reject the truth. We're seeing that so relevant, so prevalent. Romans 2:8. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. I mean, it seems to be that there's consequences. Now, one of the things that that this reminds me of, being self-seeking, when we embrace Jesus and His truth, we are, and I preached on a series, just finished up a series on Jesus being Lord. What we're saying is, Jesus, you're in charge. I'm giving all these different components of my life. I'm giving them all to you. You're in charge. You are Lord of my life. But when we are self-seeking, it's like, no, I really would rather go my own way. We reject the truth when we are self-seeking. And finally, number five, sin makes us exchange the truth for a lie. Romans 1, read Romans 1. Come on, read Romans 1. Go home tonight, read Romans 1. See what it has to say. Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Truth, a lie. Two opposing worldviews. And who they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Church, we are in competition for our hearts and minds. Not in contrary to popular belief, it's not a Methodist struggle. It's a cultural struggle. It's a world struggle. It's a human struggle. We are in a battle, a spiritual battle. There's two worldviews competing for our hearts and our minds. Satan, the father of lies, his way leads to death. There is a way, Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. I want to say to that point, it is, and I've shared this with people that are kind of on the other side theologically from me. It's like, the loving thing to do is to speak truth and love to people. Our culture has convinced people that something is right and okay and should be embraced, that to embrace that is not loving. When we know that way, the lies of the enemy leads to death. He entices us with sin. And here's how the devil works. It's not like Hollywood where, you know, all this, you know, stuff where he's flying around the room and all that stuff. Here's how he works. He works up here and he says things like this. Just look at that. Just go to that one page. Just click on that one button. That's it. Nobody will even know. Just click on that one button. Yeah, just say that. Say one little thing to your coworker. Just take a little bit of money out of the hopper at work. They won't even know you did it. He whispers these things, and it's like he's trying to entice us that that's how we gain happiness. And yet, when we go our own way, when we listen to the enemy's lies, it ends badly. It always ends badly. Is anybody got a witness? When we follow his way, it always ends badly. But here's what Jesus says. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you abundant life. Follow me. Watch how I bless you. It doesn't mean, Jesus doesn't say, follow me and you won't ever have a struggle. But what he says, follow me and I'm going to bless you. And I've said this so many times, but I've tried it both ways. I've tried following Jeff Hatcher and I've tried following Jesus. And I want to tell you, following Jesus is so much better. I have a better marriage because I'm following Jesus. I think I'm a better man because I'm following Jesus. I hope I'm a better dad and a better papa because I'm following Jesus. I hope I'm a better pastor because I'm following Jesus. There's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end it leads to death. Jesus said, no, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Avoid that. He says, but I've come to give you life, abundant life. I want to, you know, last week I said this, and I want to make sure that you know I mean it. With all the chaos in our denomination and in our world, man, it's sometimes, I've told you this, sometimes it just wears me out. It just wears me out. But in the midst of the chaos of what's going on, I'm excited about the future. I can't even tell you how excited I am about the future. How would that happen? It's like, man, I mean, literally the walls are just seem like they're caving in all around us if we're trying to walk with the Lord. I'm excited because I have Jesus. He is the foundation that I stand on. And so in this battle of worldviews between Satan and his lies and Jesus and his life, I choose Jesus. And I believe that you guys choose Jesus. And so we should be excited, even in the midst of all the chaos. We should be excited where Jesus has taken us. I know I am. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you that you've sent Jesus, that he is the truth. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word that proclaims your truth. We thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of us, that guides us into truth, that you've saved us through your truth, and that you are the victor over the opposition to truth. Father, in the midst of the chaos, and maybe we even have been fearful or anxious or depressed about the future, Father, would you well up a joy in us? Would you well up a hope for the future? And our hope is founded in you, Jesus. You've promised to give us hope and a future, Father. Would you well up an excitement in us? Would we walk it out with joy and integrity, God? Show us how to balance being passionate for your truth, but yet loving for your people. Show us how to do that, how to navigate that. We thank you, Jesus, that the truth sets us free. And because you set us free, we're free indeed. We love you, we praise you. We're thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know that Jesus I'm talking about, please don't leave this place today without talking to me about it. As we rise, as we close. Thank you. on that screen up there, Lee. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, church. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus is the truth. If the Son sets us free, church, we will be free indeed. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.